You guys like The Instance? Well, I hope you do. And if you do, consider supporting it at patreon.com/frogpants. It's real simple. It's real cheap. And it's a great way to keep shows like this on the air. Thank you guys so much for your support. And on with the show.
Hi, I'm calling to leave a message for The Instance. I'm specifically Scott Johnson. I just wanted to say, Scott, as a fellow competitor in the Heroes of the Pants tournament, and as the captain of my team, I would like to say that if you think that your team has any chance of winning that tournament, you have another thing coming, buddy.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 418. It's an episode. It's a new phrase I've keyed. I hope everyone likes it. Keep it close. Keep it safe. Keep it secret. I'm Scott Johnson.
What?
Going down a weird path. Joining me today, of course, the returning, the triumphant, the recently vacationed and refreshed and recharged Patrick Beja. Hello.
Thank you. I do expect my return to be triumphant. I actually expect it to be Caesar-like with an arc, although I did not battle anyone, so I don't know if I do deserve that kind of triumph.
Probably not, no. But you were in the land of see-through people. How did that go? Are they doing good there? They've all got, you can see their hearts beat like baby fish. It's like the land of the elves up there.
Yeah. It was great. It was fine. It was fun. It was incredibly beautiful. I mean, the Finnish countryside is amazing. Yeah. It's, you know, nature like I don't really get it in Paris, in the middle of Paris.
Yeah.
And it was super cool.
Because you're a city boy. It's good for you to get out to the country once in a while.
And, I've been away from home for 6 weeks,
what the crap?
Which I wasn't, you know, on vacation for 6 weeks. It was, it's the perks of being your own boss and being able to work from anywhere and also not having children.
Yeah.
But it's good to be back at some point.
Yeah.
It's good to be back home.
Well, I'm glad you're here. Help me
and
hold
to
down
be back on The Instance. Yeah, That's what I mean by home, obviously.
Of course, it is your true home. Forget about Paris. That's bull crap. But here he is on The Instance. We don't have Patrick, or we don't have Terpster, rather. He had something going on, traveling something.
Let Dick.
You know what?
He is.
No, I'm going to tell you what happened.
All right,
he realized I was going to be on, and he was like, well, F that. I'm not going to be on the show with that guy.
Yeah.
And my reaction was, well, great, good riddance. I never liked him anyway. Yeah. So there you go.
So Dills May show, I've tried to
He's
get
okay.
in contact with him. He's... He had an alarm issue last week. This week, I'm hoping we see him. So he'll pop into the call if he arrives. So hang in there. And next week, Terpstra will be back to say dumb things like...
Le Dick.
All right. Let's get right into it. There's a few things going on this week, and we're here to bring them to you. Let's start the news off with news that Blizzard has a big thing Saturday at Comic-Con. This is the San Diego Comic-Con, held every year in San Diego, California, currently underway. And so far, it's been, I wouldn't say underwhelming from Blizzard, but they're not there. The early days are all about new swag and selling stuff on the floor. That's kind of their job. And I think a lot of players are hoping for more from Blizzard, like they would announce something big or... You know, come out.
Yeah,
and say,
I don't think traditionally they're announcing big stuff at Comic-Con. There haven't, in my memory, there isn't really anything huge. There was the PAX, not Prime, but PAX
East.
Boston.
Yeah, East, yeah.
Where they announced, famously Hearthstone and stuff like that. But Comic-Con, I don't think there was anything. So I wouldn't expect a huge anything.
No, they showed off the new Hearthstone beach towel. That's cool. I want that. they showed off stuff you can buy in the store. So that's one thing. But tomorrow, the big Legendary Pictures Blizzard panel thing where you'll get to hear more about the movie. My guess is if you're there and you're in your seat and you're part of that panel, you're going to see an actual trailer, one that isn't sort of spliced together like last year's, that was not public. And we don't expect this year's to be public either. Although I have a theory that we'll end up with like some
but
kind
what
of
if
camera
it is,
video.
Though?
Well,
what if it is public?
It could be, but Legendary Pictures is famous for just locking this stuff down. And there's an added problem this time. So if Legendary Pictures comes out and says, all right, we got this new, you know, Del Toro movie and we're going to show a sneak preview at Comic-Con, but that's it. Nobody else is going to see a trailer or a teaser for a while. we kind of go, oh, that sucks, but okay. But when it happens here, there's a tendency for the player base to want to blame Blizzard for this, thinking Blizzard is being all tight-lipped and closed down about this movie having any kind of leaks.
Which they never are.
No, they never. Sometimes they are with games, for sure. But this feels like a movie thing, and I think they're putting the blame at the wrong feet. I think Legendary, this is the way Legendary Pictures does things, and I don't think they care necessarily what the movie is, and players need to quit equating it with, like, this is how Blizzard makes games, and they're going to hide this movie until the last possible second. And lumping that into their WoW anger, if you know what I mean.
Here, you definitely have to look at the marketing, you know, the curve. If the movie is released, is it March or was it pushed to June? It's March 2016, right?
Yeah, March.
So I think this is right around the time they should start making some noise. Maybe it's going to be a teaser, which, you know, by nowadays teasers are 90 seconds or 2 minutes even. I want to see stuff, and there might be a teaser that becomes public. I'm very wary of seeing too much, though.
You don't want to be spoiled, is what you're saying.
Well, you know, for Warcraft, it's not like we don't know the story already. But yeah, I would love to get to that movie fresh. I don't know that I'm going to be able to. But anyway, regardless, I think a teaser 9 months before the release is standard practice. I wouldn't be surprised to see it. And so maybe we're going to see it. But it has everything to do with Legendary, that they are the ones in control of from what I understand, of the cycle there. So they're going to be treating it as their big blockbuster movie property, not as anything else.
I'd be willing to bet the $22.48 that is in my wallet right now that Patrick would not be able to resist trailers if they came out. There's no way you can do it. You can't do it.
I probably can't.
No. You can't Jeff Cannata that business. You got to watch that stuff.
Yeah, I can't be the Unsullied there. It's it's very difficult. But especially for Warcraft, you know, it's maybe I could try to do it for Ant-Man. I tried. I failed, but I thought I could make it. Mm-hmm. For Warcraft, I don't think so. And especially, you know, if they release one now and it's 9 months away from the movie, there's no way I'm going to be able to make it 9 months without, you know, cracking. So I might just as well crack now.
Yeah.
Right?
It's literally impossible for you to do that. So
oh,
we'll know more tomorrow.
Is saying it's June 2016.
Oh, it got bumped again, right?
Yeah, it got bumped a second time.
I forgot.
It got the first bump, which was the Universal Star Trek bump.
Yeah.
When it was at Christmas 2015. And then it got another 3 months.
Star Wars, you mean.
Thanks.
Yeah. You mean Star Wars, not Star Trek, right? This year?
Oh, did I say Star Trek?
You did, but it's okay.
You're
allowed, dude. You've been gone for 6 weeks. Allowed. Yeah.
No, it was to rile up the Star community.
They don't have enough reasons to fight and argue online. But no, I'm.
Yeah, so, well, in that case, maybe we're not even going to have a public teaser.
Mm-hmm, maybe. Yeah. I mean, I think we will at some point before it releases. Yeah, everyone gets a trailer eventually, but tomorrow. My feeling is no, but we'll get some kind of leaked thing that will be very promptly removed from the internet. So get on it while you can.
Well, that I'll not watch, I think.
Not interested in that so much?
No.
All right.
The weird, horrible, bad-looking stuff I try to stay away from.
Oh, it's hard for me, dude. It's hard for me. I'm going to cave and do it.
So you're not hashtag Unsullied?
No, I am not. Not right now. I am hashtag ride the Griffin, though. So the Skies of Azeroth immersive VR experience thing was released for the Legendary Pictures app, along with the app, a couple days ago, and it was announced on Twitter originally. It's kind of spread since then. This app includes a bunch of movies that are coming out, and including Pacific Rim 2, where you can kind of be inside of one of the big mechs and walking around and stuff, that other Del Toro horror movie, and then Warcraft, which also has a new logo, by the way. They went with the old font. To the rejoicing of fans everywhere, the Warcraft movie font is now the proper Warcraft font. I think that's no small thing. But anyway, it's called Ride the Griffin, and we're not going to be able to do it any justice on the radio here, obviously, but it is a VR experience intended, best viewed, not that you have to, but best viewed if you have, like, Google Cardboard or something, where you can put your iPhone or your Android phone up in your face and basically watch this thing in 360-degree video. And you're on top of a Griffin, very realistic one. You're flying over Stormwind, and you can look everywhere. So if you want to fly over and look at the gates real close and then look over to the left and right and look behind you, you totally can. Your phone's motion sensor stuff does all the work. It sounds a little like this. Here, I'm going to play it. By the way, this prompted me to order a Google Cardboard pre-assembled, so that's coming from Amazon tomorrow. Here you go. You can't see this, but there's a giant Warcraft name flying by. All right. Oh, man. All of Stormwind rendered in beautiful 360-degree film right there for your engagement. So have you looked at this? You've tried it, I assume?
Not on the phone. I've looked at it on the, you know, just on the YouTube video, not YouTube, but, you know, on the screen,
yeah.
Which is not the best way to experience it, but, you know, also the pictures. And it is a really strange feeling,
mm-hmm.
you know, to, mm-hmm. to take this world that we've really inhabited. And for you, it speaks to you a lot less because you're one of those filthy horde types.
Oh, are you saying
horde side?
Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying basically what you think I'm saying.
Le dick.
Okay, great.
and for me, Stormwind has been my home for years and years.
Yeah.
And it was very weird to look at it in such beautifully rendered gloriousness. And as the Griffin was going through the city, I was looking at every little piece trying, and it's like a place that we actually know and we've actually been without it existing. I remember, I think one of the strongest memories I have of the beginning of discussing World of Warcraft with my friends was the realization that all of those virtual worlds felt kind of like real worlds for us, because
place to be, yeah.
We could talk about it and say, so I was in, you know, the near the I don't know, the church in Stormwind, and then I turned right and I went to that place, and the guy's like, oh right, the shop by this little corner, and mm-hmm. with the fountain, and they're like, oh yeah, of course, well, you know it. Mm-hmm. And it has a very strange effect when you realize that this entire thing doesn't exist, but we have it as a common experience and common knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, it was kind of the same. I was looking at what they intended, I guess, which is riding on that Griffin and looking at, oh, the keep is over there. And, oh, you have like the church here, and here is the Dwarven district. And it was really weird. And it put me, it put even more pressure on the movie to deliver something that is worthy of my memories, which is,
yeah, that's,
you know,
that's a lot.
I think they can do it, but it's difficult.
I think so too. It's really well rendered. Everything is very, very detailed and beautiful, and super, super cool to see this thing. I just want to make the record clear. I've spent a bunch of time in Stormwind, but mostly it was with a band of awesome players there to kill your king and to acquire a mount. So I've been to Stormwind plenty, and I won most of the time we were there because our server has wieners on the Alliance side.
Well, you know that. Okay, never mind. I was going to go into a big rant about.
Come on, let's do it. Let's do it.
No, but what I mean is, it's not the same thing when you're coming in to pillage and plunder,
yeah.
And when you're actually living there and enjoying the fresh air by the sea and helping out little kids, chasing butterfly, and what we Alliance types do.
Mm-hmm.
So you know,
somebody on Twitter messaged me and said, lame. Obviously, the movie's got Alliance bias. Where's Orgrimmar? And I wrote back and said, I don't think you know what this movie's about, because there is no Orgrimmar yet. You got Orgrim. He's hanging out. The namesake is there, but yeah, this is not that story yet. So no.
Well,
flyer.
I think that person is joking.
He
I'm
might
sure,
be.
But,
might be. Sure. I don't. He never replied, so I don't know. But yeah.
Remember that the initial images we got were off Orgrim. It was the biggest details we had were of the Orgrim render and what he would look like. So stop being a ledeck.
Right, but he wants a 360-degree VR experience flyby of Orgrim standing there.
Of Orgrim, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be cool.
Not his future town named after him. Anyway, it's really cool.
You know, some kind of Batman deep tissue scanner where you can go and look at his bone structure and organs and everything.
Yes, all of that.
That would be cool.
I'll report back on how the headset works with it. But yeah, pretty neat stuff. And it's free for iOS and Android. You can go get it right now. And it's just the Legendary Pictures app or VR Experience app, I think it's called. And know that when you download it, it will then give you the options for the movies you want to see. And if you click one of them, it will then prompt you to download the actual 360-degree VR footage, which was another 500 megabytes. So just be warned that, you know, if you're trying to save bandwidth, that might be a problem. A few other exciting things this week. I think the most exciting thing of the week was the announcement of Warcraft Chronicle Volume 1. There's a video of Chris Metzen explaining this book, what to expect. I think lore nerds are having a canary right now, thinking this may be the greatest thing they've ever heard of. And it's essentially, instead of just being another art book or another, you know, kind of cash in on the lore. Well, it's a bit of a cash in on the lore, but basically it's a book that covers the lore from well before Orcs and Humans all the way up to what we know is current. And they're going to be showing a lot of stuff that we've never heard about before, including civilizations and land masses and places that we've never heard of in great description and detail. They've got a really great artist doing most of the illustrations in the book, and it looks rad. So I can't wait to get it. And Terpster, if he was here, probably would be having a small sexual experience.
Orgasm?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's
it. You know, I thought about this, and I really think that the lore, the Warcraft lore, I'm not as big of a nerd as Terpster is, but I certainly enjoy a little bit. I enjoy myself a little bit of Warcraft lore, and it is so vast. It's so complex. I remember one of my first experiences with Warcraft when I joined the game was shortly after there. I think it was during the announcement of the Burning Crusade, and Metzen said that the he made a mistake about Sargeras. Basically, Sargeras used to be part of the Titans, and he was corrupted by what they found and the Burning Legion. And he didn't remember this. He thought that Sargeras was the guy that, you know, he was the head of the Burning Legion from the beginning.
Yeah.
And he is the guy who wrote the story of Warcraft, right? And it provoked an outrage. And, you know, the internet exploded. They were like, oh, how can you do that? And he's like, guys, it's so big. And he, you know, issued an apology. And like, and I remember thinking, how wide does the lore have to be that the guy who wrote it didn't remember? And it was a small detail, but still. And there isn't any, I really don't think there are many, you know, cultural products that have as wide a lore as this. Everyone goes to the Lord of the Rings, but the Lord of the Rings, there's, you know, Bilbo and then the Lord of the Rings, and then you could argue the Silmarillion and stuff like that, but really it's not, it's mostly one continuous story and it goes in one direction. The Warcraft lore goes in so many different directions. You have, you know, enough material to create 5 or 10 different epic journeys like the one from the Lord of the Rings. So many different characters, storylines, and I think maybe Star Wars, if you include all of the universes, it could be equivalent. Maybe Marvel is probably wider, but that's because there's been, you know, like 50 years of stories.
Right, but a lot of it's crap, too. That's another thing to keep in mind.
Also.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting that they're making a compendium of archiving, like, this is the record set straight of what actually happened.
It's the canon. It's canon. It's like you've got this really important holy book now that will hopefully detail all of that stuff, you know, forever. And by the way, all you Warhammer fans, hold on to your emails. We know that that's a huge, expansive lore. We know that. And 40K. If you add that in, it's even crazier. We got it. I just wanted to stave off that flood of Patrick doesn't know what he's talking about. Warhammer kills WoW in turn, because those people are real. They get all up in your face.
No, I'm sure, you know, I'm sure there are some, but so popular. Basically, if you think Lord of the Rings is big, Warcraft is four times, five times Lord of the Rings in terms of lore size.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And there, and the, and like you said, there's also a lot of like little things, like a quest you did once in a game, in the game. There may not be a whole book about that, but there could be. And it's just up to them to say whether or not they want to expand on the lore of that one quest. Like they have opportunities like that too, that are, that even expand the lore even further. You know, and then you have silly stuff that usually, you know, you don't really include, like, I don't know what this goblin made a car, you know?
Well, the thing is with a product like Warcraft, which is video games, you have to, I think there is a level of the lore is a function of the medium, which is, which needs gameplay, and you have lots of quests and lots of, you know, missions. Initially, obviously, the game is a RTS, and so of course, given the fact that it's an RTS, you have to come up with, you know, 20 missions per game or and per expansion, and so you're gonna have twists and turns, and sometimes this guy is, we need a mission where we do this on the sea. So you're going to be like, oh, all right, so we're going to create that dude that was doing this on the sea, and he was a general that came here, and then he came back, and then he betrayed whatever. And it's so expensive that, because it has to be in order to fill all of this. I don't know if many people realize, but a huge part of the lore from the, that universe comes from Warcraft 3 alone.
Yeah.
The Burning Legion, for example, comes from Warcraft 3. The Night Elves come from Warcraft 3. The entire Arthas storyline comes from Warcraft 3. So when you say Night Elves, it includes the you know, Fun Brothers, the what's their face? Illidan Stormrage
and Malfurion,
his
yeah.
friend. Malfurion,
his friend.
and the Forsaken are from Warcraft 3. It's all of this was created for one game, so there's a creative imperative for video games that I think is much more plentiful than it is for other mediums. So maybe that's part of the explanation.
It's so funny after time, though, looking back at Warcraft 3 and realizing what they were doing. It's a very interesting strategy, because at the time you just thought, oh, they're really blowing it out for Warcraft 3. I think what they were doing is they were establishing Warcraft 3 and making a great game in its own right, but they were essentially laying the foundational work that an MMO would require to have the reach it needed to have the races it needed to have the kind of depth it needed to have. Like that was a calculated thing.
And of course.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, publicly that they were developing both at the same time, and they were published a year apart, weren't they?
I think it's you're actually right about that. It was like 03, yeah, right. Something like that. 03
for 2002, July 2002.
Okay. So it was a couple of years.
Yeah, less than 2 years between the two. So yeah, for sure, it was developed in parallel, and they were setting up a lot of what's happening in Warcraft 3.
Yeah,
for sure,
it's really smart, forward thinking stuff like that. I think that helps them win, and then helps something like this book come out. By the way, the artist involved in volume one is Peter Lee. You've seen his work before if you've seen any Blizzard artwork and concept art and stuff. That guy's amazing. So anyway, the whole video available up on YouTube now, I think. Let me just double check this link.
And also
important,
the
lore and the storytelling of Warcraft is something that we've really tried to work on and hone over the years.
There you go.
So I also think we have to say something about Metzen, who it's any, you know, any video game needs lore. And I don't think that in Warcraft, lore is the primary force behind the games. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, one of the core values of the company is gameplay first. So gameplay is always going to take precedence over everything else, including lore. That being said, the worlds and the things that Chris Metzen has created are definitely special. You know, they have that kind of quality that you don't really find anywhere else. I'm fond of explaining one thing about the Night Elves. I remember when I was playing Warcraft 3 for the first time, I thought the Night Elves were a little bit annoying. You know, it was like, well, why can't you have just the regular elves? You know, let's do stuff that is familiar and that we're going to understand. And those night elves, they're blue, they're annoying. Why? And that was basically my reaction.
They're and blue after... and annoying. I like that a lot. That's pretty good.
Well, they are. But after, I think, a year or so of playing World of Warcraft, I could not... How much we would have lost if he hadn't brought that... And I'm sure, you know, he has a team and he doesn't write everything anymore, of course. But if he hadn't created that little twist on something that is familiar of the elves and made them night elves and not just elves. And they do that with everything. You know, they don't, you don't have ducks in the game. You have like, let's change one letter from the word duck. You have gucks.
Gucks. Not, just don't gucks put an F. Just don't change the D with an F. Exactly. You'd be fine. Yeah.
And so the gucks are this weird thing that makes it different and special and not the same as everything else. And so anyway, yeah, just saying the a lot of the soul of Blizzard and what makes it special is definitely Chris Metzen. So, you know, credit where credit is due.
Completely agree. And if you're coming to Nerdtacular in a couple of weeks, he'll be there. So come say hi.
Oh my God, 2 weeks.
Yeah, two and a half or whatever it is. Yeah. Yeah, we got a little more time. Not much though. I got to get on it. I got stuff to get done, yo.
Woo! Oh, I want to order something. Can I get it sent to your house?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Just hurry up. what else? What else is going on here? Oh, yeah. Also, Christy Golden's writing a new movie prequel. She's doing a prequel to the film. Some people were confused. They thought she was writing the next film, a prequel film. But no, that is not the case. She's writing a book designed to happen before the movie, which is something they often have Christy do, although it's usually for expansions and things. But I love her work. She's got a new Star Wars book out right now called Dark Disciple, I believe. It's supposed to be quite good, and I'm excited about anything she writes. I thought War Crimes was maybe her best work, and I'd love to see what she's doing going forward. Probably get her on for another interview at some point, her and Mickey, and do that whole thing like we do occasionally, because I always like talking to those guys. In Hearthstone... Oh, go ahead. What?
This is intriguing, though, because the story of the movie is the lore of the game. I guess, yeah, it's always the case. There's always, we know vaguely what the lore is, but we don't have an actual book on that story. So, yeah. All right. I get it.
There's the earlier, well, there are other books, right, that cover this time period, but I guess she'll do some story outside of that. It's like this Dark Disciple thing is set in the running Star Wars universe, but she's telling some offshoot story, so... I need to pick that up, actually, and see if it's any good. All right, Hearthstone time.
Taronda still looks pretty good.
All right, that's our friend Liam O'Brien. Hearthstone, all this cryptic news around the game lately. Got to be an Argent tournament expansion is what everybody thinks. Too many references to impaling and gathering of champions and all those commercials that are just like these tournament commercials. Like, come on, man. That's what they're doing, right?
Yeah, of course. It can't be anything else. Or it would be the biggest... trolling of anything ever.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that would make it worth it if it wasn't the Argent tournament would be if it was a Rick Astley themed expansion or something.
Card, that'd be great. Are you it sounds like another adventure type thing though? Like definitely, well, I shouldn't say definitely, but it doesn't sound like a competitive thing, although it should be, right? I don't know. I mean, they're really being cagey about this, but it sounds like something like Naxxramas or, you know.
It you would think so, but maybe it isn't. Maybe it's both. I would think it would be an expansion, meaning new cards, like Gnomes versus Goblins was.
Yeah.
And it would make sense because you got one expansion, one adventure, one expansion, one adventure. But I don't know. It would seem like that would fit more the idea of an adventure, or maybe it's something different. I have to be honest, I like brawls, but I think it's a little bit, I'm kind of team Dills on this one, although he sort of got more enthusiastic about it. But I usually play it once a week to get my pack. I play until I win, and I don't really have a big incentive to go back, which is great. You know, I'm not sure for brawls, it was necessarily for me. It was super casual types that don't want. It's a catch 22, right? You can't do brawls that are super enticing to casuals or not threatening to casuals, because when you have something that is not threatening, that it means it doesn't have stakes. And if it doesn't have stakes, then it's not very motivating to go and do it again.
Right,
so
right.
I understand the issue with brawls. But basically with this one, maybe it's something different. Maybe it is that a tournament setting for actual tournaments, which is what Dills wanted. Knowing Blizzard, I don't think they would create a tournament mode without dressing it up. They wouldn't just put a button, tournament, and that's what we have, and now you enter and you just play your matches. Or it would make sense that they wouldn't just do that. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is not an expansion or an adventure, if it's something different, maybe a tournament mode that is dressed up with all of these cool things.
It feels like it could be all of those things, and it feels like a missed opportunity if there's not a tournament mode attached to something called the Argent Tournament. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly, exactly.
You got to have something.
That being said, I don't know how to create a tournament mode that works given the synchronous nature of the game, because you have to have people there at the time that they are. I think I discussed it with Dills a few weeks ago, and basically what it came down to was it would be a kind of an arena mode with decks that you can create yourself, right?
Yeah.
Because you do need to, first of all, Hearthstone doesn't really lend itself very well to the idea that you play one match and that's it, your place has been determined, because there's so much RNG. So maybe it's a more of a round robin type thing. But even then, you have to make sure that you're logged in and connected at the time that your opponent is there as well. It wouldn't work. So I don't think tournaments in the traditional sense would work.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. If they do a tournament thing without having a tournament mode, it would be a missed opportunity.
I agree. I don't know that it's a new button, but it's something. So we'll see.
We'll see. Is it the 22nd?
22nd is the big day, yeah. So should hear something soon. Ugh, that's so soon. And that just reminds me what's soon right after that. What else? I found a great tweet that I wanted to share. Muffinus from the community team answered this question, or maybe he's a dev. I'm not sure, actually. But somebody said this. Sorry to drag you into this, but how canonical should we take Hearthstone as lore? I mean, it's not at all canon in WoW, right? And he says, Hearthstone is a game played in WoW's inns. Thus, Hearthstone's things exist, but may not be real, in quotes, per se. Like buying a Transformers toy. So I just think that's an interesting thing. People wanting what happens in Hearthstone to be lore are getting it wrong. It's more like, if you lived in Warcraft's world, you'd buy this board game that was based on all the cool things happening in your world with a lot of augmentation. And that's how you should look at it. So not lore, but existing in the world of Warcraft. Does that make sense to you?
I think it's pretty clear. Because, you could totally imagine in that world that is full of, as we were saying, lore and story and characters, you could totally imagine, little kids gathering around the by the well in villages and having, either action figures or a Hearthstone playboard and going like, oh, rah, my Malfurion destroys your Sylvanas. And, that would totally happen, right?
Sure.
So it does. Obviously, it doesn't mean that, the fights in Hearthstone have any kind. It wouldn't make sense, but it does mean that I can totally see this being a game that kids and adults in the world of WoW play. And where was it that there is a Hearthstone board?
Remember a couple places, right? Oh crap!
Some in model that has it now.
It's in the city. I want to say in Pandaria there was somewhere in the what do you call it? What was it?
Chat room will.
Yeah, they'll tell us. There are places.
Yeah, that makes complete sense.
And you have your own. You can pop it out whenever you want. Throw it on the ground. Have somebody come tip it over. It's good. Let's see. Heroes news. Oh, we started our tournament real quick. So the guy at the top of the show that was talking smack, he may want to go watch the VOD of the first game we played, because we annihilated our other team in the Heroes of the Pants tournament. So our first game is down. We got two more planned for this weekend. We're all in the group phase. If you want to watch the standings and see how these 32 teams all end up, eventually we'll be streaming. Actually, a lot of the games are being streamed anyway. Ro over at Realm Maintenance is doing a lot of that. I did a really great job on our game. But the finals and the semifinals, I believe, are for sure going to be streamed. We're having a really good time with it. And if you want to follow the standings, go to frogpants.com/HeroPants. Hero Pants. And they're all right there.
I just want to say about the guy that sent the segment at the beginning of the show, the intro. I was expecting a little bit more of, you know, a little bit of a stronger smack talk game. I was a little bit disappointed. You know, he started out and it was like, yeah, he's going to bring down the hammer, mm-hmm. and, you know, like WWF wrestling style.
Sure.
And then he was like, well, you have another thing coming, sir. It was like, what are you, from the 20s? And
we might have to go to fisticuffs. Exactly. It was real stupid. Exactly.
So I'm hoping that by the time, you know, next week, we get a few other messages that bring down the hammer a little bit more.
Yeah, let's get the smack talk going, because while it is only for fun, there's some cool prizes and stuff, but it's all mostly just to have a good time with each other. I'm all for some good old-fashioned smack talk. So.
It's just fun.
Bring
right?
it on.
And even, sorry, I don't know who sent that segment, but I think, you know, I'm sending back your copy with in big red letters, can do better. Sure. And, you know, C plus.
Okay.
And I'm expecting a new version of your assignment next week.
You're a Thank brutal you. Headmaster, Patrick Beja. Brutal.
That was my the name of my Europe cover band in college.
Brutal Headmaster. Got it. What else? So anyway, the game's great. We're having a ball with it, and hope everyone's enjoying themselves. Recent bannings have happened in the game, and they may have nabbed a bunch of false positives. So this has been a lot of talk for a while. There were some map hacks reportedly in the game. Started spreading like wildfire on Reddit and other sites. Pretty soon, some YouTube videos showed up that showed some very, very interesting suspect video of stuff happening with players and that were not part of observer mode. And made people kind of freak out, including Blizzard, who immediately started to investigate it and then did a wave of bans. The problem is a whole bunch of people, including casters who cast all their games and have no history of cheating and aren't cheating, were banned. So they were a little more high profile, as well as just folks who just straight up are like, whoa, wait a minute, I haven't cheated a day in my life. Why is this happening to me? So Blizzard says there is now a big investigation underway into accounts that maybe shouldn't have been banned. They said, or a lot of people were saying, it normally, like, this happens all the time. StarCraft, Warcraft, whatever, a big ban comes because a bunch of people are caught cheating. They find a new bot or whatever in Warcraft, and they just kill everybody. Usually the only outcry is those who've been banned, and there's usually that's it. We're just like, okay, big deal, doesn't even make the news, other than saying that they ban people. And we usually applaud it. But in this case, so many people came forward going, dude, I don't cheat and I've been banned. So there's a big question about this. Part of the problem is did a little research on this. Not most of. A lot of what happens in that game happens client side versus, say, something like League of Legends, which is a lot more server heavy in the way it calculates player position and all that kind of stuff. Because the maps and the battlegrounds in Heroes of the Storm are more client dependent, they are more prone, apparently, to these kinds of map hacks. So it is something to keep an eye on. Obviously, Blizzard will have to, you know, stay ahead of it and stop it from happening. But all that being said, I wonder if anybody out there listening's been the victim of any, you know, bad behavior online when it came to map hacks. That'd be interesting to find out. It's been weird, though. So there you go. Patrick, you're going to get cheated on. Or quit cheating, Patrick. That's what I'm trying to say. Stop cheating.
Well, you know, I'm French. If I don't cheat, I don't win. So
see,
don't have a choice.
From the horse's mouth. Jim Raynor. He's stupid cheap this week. Also, you can get him for $1.99.
So do I have to go and buy him now?
Yeah, do it. He's so cheap. $1.99. I mean, come on, $2 for a hero. That is insane.
Like, $2 for a hero.
Yeah, it's nothing.
My, that sounds like a deal. I'm gonna go buy him now.
How many francs or euros is that? It's like nothing. It's like
probably 150, 170.
All right. Dollar's doing a little better now then, must be.
Yeah. Or, you know, Euro doing a little bit less. Thanks, Greece.
Yeah, thanks, Greece. Yeah. It's all Greece's fault.
Yeah, I'm gonna go buy him. I was super excited about the Eternal Conflict event.
Yeah.
And I haven't had time to play, so I think it's gonna
even out of town. It's still going. Every time you get in on the daily, you can do the treasure goblin thing, get extra gold, which is cool. At the beginning of the first map, you got Deckard Cain talking about him, and go kill him and get some gold for no reason.
Oh no, wait, what is that? So
here's how it works. If it doesn't matter what map you're on, it could be the Eternal Conflict map or the other stuff. Doesn't matter. But you'll pop in, you'll hear Deckard Cain go, "Oh, you've welcome, kill the thing," or whatever. And then a goblin.
Are you sure that's what he says?
All right. It's probably not a verbatim. Yeah, it's probably not exactly right. But running around in the initial area there by your core before the gates go down is a treasure goblin from Diablo. Whoever goes and gets at least one hit on it, it completes the quest. And when he dies, you get like 200 gold or whatever for the event. And it happens daily, so you can do it once a day. And it's super easy and kind of, you know, it's silly in terms of, it's sort of trivial, but it's fun. And he, you know, explodes and all his gold goes everywhere and it's great. So then you do that and then you fight your match and, you know, on you go. Now my favorite thing about the map, the Battlefield of the Eternities or whatever it is, I always forget the name. My favorite thing about it, I think it's a really good map. I like the balance. It's really fun. What you have to do really changes up how you think mechanically about how these maps work. And all that stuff's great. It's beautiful, amazing, really well done. But my favorite thing is when you take down the enemy core, regardless of side, it pops a bunch of legendary and green set loot at the end. So it's not stuff you can pick up, obviously, but you hear this cling, 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 like stuff like swords are dropping and big shafts of light shooting to the heavens in either orange or green are all over the map. It's just awesome. It's just the coolest little touch.
I think that's what one of the big contributing factors to Blizzard's success. It's how fun they allow their games to be. They're not for as serious and important as the lore is, you're going to have stupid dances in World of Warcraft, right? You're going to have fun stuff that is going to make you smile.
Sure.
And a lot of other games that want to convey the epicness of the adventure you're living don't allow for that kind of, you know, winky fun things. I think that's what makes Blizzard games a lot more accessible to a lot more people.
So. I agree, but it also makes it so you don't have to. I like the things that are self-serious, right? Like I like to take the lore seriously, and I like to think of, you know, Grom Hellscream and his decision not to drink Manoroth's blood at the beginning of this expansion. I like to take that stuff seriously. I have to think about what that means and how gritty and hard it is. But then I'm happy to, you know, click too many times on a peon and have him say 20 funny things and ride around on a motorcycle, which makes no sense in this world, or any of those things. Like it's not like they're short shrifting the serious side to provide the casuals with a jokey side. It's like,
you're right.
They know the balance, and it's hard balance. I don't think anybody else does it quite like this. They all kind of, they're various, you know, things you can look at and say, oh, okay, I can see what they're doing there. But I don't know. This is a case where they've always done a pretty good job of that. And people are always going to find something to complain about. But I remember in the early days of WoW, people did complain that there was a little too much goofiness. And how come we have to have a Christmas-like holiday? Wouldn't they have their own weird dark fantasy holidays? And I think we should all be over that by now. We should all just sort of accept it for what it is.
Well, you know, it's the thing is, it's not necessarily, not every game has to be the same, right? And this is a game that strikes a balance between, and really a company that strikes a balance between all of those things. And if your thing is more of the uncompromising epicness of a world that is going to only basically it breaks the immersion. When you have the weird, you know, Father Winter over there, it does break the immersion. And if what you want is being transported into a world that will not let you go and show you things that, I mean, Warcraft has that, but sometimes it makes your character dance like Michael Jackson. So it's not as, you know, it's not the same thing. But I think it's fine if what you want is EverQuest or whatever, you know, immersive game you want, then go play The Witcher or go play Skyrim or, you know, The Elder Scrolls or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But you know, Warcraft and Blizzard does something a little bit different. And as you were saying, they find the, for me at least, and it seems for a lot of people, the perfect balance between seriousness and fun.
I agree. Overwatch news.
Don't worry, loves. Cavalry's here.
Soldier 76 is a brand new character. His real name, unknown. Age, unknown. Although he has white hair, I'm going to say he's a little older. Occupation, vigilante. Base of operations, unknown. Affiliation, Overwatch, or at least formerly, back when they were running. Here's a little taste of some of the audio.
So mysterious.
Let's see if we can hear this guy. All right, here we go. Here he is.
We're all soldiers now.
Sounds like Lance Henriksen, doesn't it? And as you can tell, he's got like a major machine gun business going on. He is a forward-facing, front lines kind of soldier type character. And when you look at his photo, or when you look at his art, or his, you know, standalone, not doing anything yet, like screenshot, he's kind of disappointing to me. I see him and go, well, that's maybe the most generic character design they've done in the game. It's very kind of 90s Duke Nukem-y. I don't even know how to describe it. Just kind of very generic. But when you see him in motion and actually out there fighting, as always, it looks much better. Any thoughts on this guy and his gameplay?
No, I think you're right. I think he is somewhat generic. Not super generic, but somewhat. And I think he, and looking at his, of course, we haven't played him, so we don't really know, but it seems like his weapon and his abilities are run-of-the-mill, standard kind of stuff, almost, kind of. Mm-hmm. So I think he is the kind of character that you design to make newcomers comfortable, to make them, you know, the easy-to-pick for a first game type of character that is not going to be difficult to play and that you're going to understand immediately, you know, his abilities and how to play him. And so I think that's, and even, you know, his ultimate capacity is basically auto-targeting. So you pop his ultimate, and he gets this huge visor that targets the people in his field of vision, and they get targeted, and then you press the button, and they die.
Yeah.
So all of this, and he has a healing ability and a bunch of stuff. So he seems like a very easy to approach character, and given that he's an easy to approach. He has easy to approach gameplay, or at least that's my theory. It's not surprising that he's a little bit bland. I don't think he's very bland, but he has less personality than the other Overwatch characters we've seen.
Yeah, he's a little more just, let's go, okay, yeah. Fight, shoot, rah! Like he's just
his name is Soldier 76, so it's not like he's, you know, he's just a soldier. That's what he is. He's kind of a Nick Fury type dude.
Very much so, and it's very... Yeah, you're right about the boilerplate nature of him as a way for new players to feel like they can find a character that is a good middle. It's like Mario and Mario Kart. It's like Heroes of the Storm and picking Rainer. It's like it's like building a hunter in World of Warcraft. You know, there's a reason some people are going to get mad when I say that. But
yeah, no. Hunter, World of Warcraft, easy mode. Clearly, I think that's the case.
Look, right. I'm just saying, for me as a player, I'll admit it. Approaching World of Warcraft, that character felt like the most fun out of the gate because everything just kind of made sense right away. The nuances are deeper with other classes. So there. I prefer Hunter because if it's just get in and go.
Stop. You're digging yourself.
I am, aren't I? They're just going to come and say, who dug this hole? What's going on in here? Who's all the way down
and,
the bottom?
And Scott is going to be at the button, you know, 30 feet in. Hey, guys. Can you please pull me out?
I'm all in on this guy. I want to try him, and don't let his generic look fool you. He looks like fun. Also, I just think it's interesting. Speaking of lore, but very lore centric viewpoint from me today, but on all these games. But the game seems to be really going for this lore stuff hard with this game. I think we know what Chris has been busy doing lately, because they've got all these weird viral posts about X Overwatch agent found guilty and blah, 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 like fake headline news and weird little viral blog posts and Twitter posts and things like that. They clearly want to have more in the background than just shooter man shoots another shooter man. Like they want to have something to it. They want some meat here.
I'm wondering if he is going to be playable at Gamescom in Germany in about a month. It's weird to announce the character outside of any type of event.
Mm-hmm.
So either they have, you know, a truck of characters that they have to unload and announce, or there's something happening soonish. I don't know what's happening at Gamescom, but I'm guessing he's going to be playable, and they had to announce him before.
Are you going to that, by the way?
No. I've been to like, I don't know, five. I've had my fill.
You've done all you want to do there.
Of sweaty Germans.
Yeah. You know, I kind of am on the, like all my friends at Comic-Con this week, or a few of them anyway. Some of them
Do you have sweaty Germans at Comic-Con as well?
Always. Yeah. I think they go everywhere. They travel. I just no longer desire the big sweaty crowds. I hate it. I kind of hate it. I don't know if it's because it's just you get older and you're like, there's people. It's sweaty.
It's age. We're roughly at the same age. We're like, well, we can watch it on the internet.
I guess so. That's part of it. And E3 was a lot more fun to do it from the comfort of my chair and talking to you and watching those live things. And I don't know. I just, outside of my small, emphasis on small, little event nerdtacular where, you know, real fans and producers and people have room to breathe, that's a thing I can deal with. But I don't know.
I mean, come on, Gamescom, E3, they're too big, man. The real thing is at smaller, like cool events, like Nerdtacular. That's where things are happening.
Well, if you're coming, Patrick will be there, Terpster, me, everybody, Chris Metzen, Russell Brower, Veronica Belmont, Tom Merritt. Just look at that list. It's huge. Even Veronica, who, you know, has been to plenty of Comic-Cons. She had a panel to do. She went in, did it, and flew the hell out of there. She's like, I'm done. She's getting to be our age, too, so there you have it. All right. I guess that's it for all that. Let's get to some Town Crier.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
I don't know why that was so quiet. Town Crier, it's time for your emails and your calls. Call us 801-471-0462, or you can email us, theinstance@gmail.com. We're going to do calls today. I got a couple of them. One is about the next expansion.
Hey, The Instant.
Whoops, wrong one. This one right here.
Hi, this is Kuchulainn from Silverhand. Calling in. Got a question for you about future expansions. A theory, well, based on the spoilers given away in the end cinematic. So, of course, if you wish to hold off on that from the new raid, totally understand. Anyways, theory I've long held is that the next expansion or possible final expansion, in other words, another one after this, is going to be the Return of the Burning Crusade, and I think the cinematic set that up pretty well. The other expansion people have theorized about, of course, is the Emerald Dream. I was wondering what your guys' theories or ideas are on that. Maybe Emerald Dream followed by Return of the Burning Crusade, or what you think might go on. Thanks.
I don't think you get Burning Crusade again, because the criticism heat will be too hot. It's like they just retold vanilla, kind of, and in a way they've retold a lot of what BC was, and well, you can't just keep doing the same expansions over and over and reworking them, you know.
If that happens, you know the next expansion after that is the Lich King, so everyone's gonna be happy.
I guess so. Finally, get your favorite expansion back.
I don't think that's gonna be the case. I think the it was. Well, now I'm thinking maybe I haven't seen that cinematic at the end of the raid.
Oh, have you not seen it? It's I don't know.
I think the Burning Crusade was there in this raid. I don't think we're gonna get an entire expansion out of it again. Maybe we will, but I don't think so. And by the way, the live just died. I don't know if that's intentional.
It did?
For me. The reason I don't think it's going to happen is that I would suspect the next expansion to be somewhat linked to the movie.
Mm.
And I don't think we have anything.
That's very interesting, because that is a very tight rope to walk, isn't it? You don't want it to be too movie tied in, because then it gets weird, or it can be weird. Gamers are weird. They'll start to feel like, no, wait a minute, are you just advertising? Are we just trying to cross-promote here, or are we making an actual meaningful expansion to the game and not tying it too tightly into the film? I think I don't discount what you're saying as a possibility, but I just think they have to be careful. That's all.
No, but I think it's more of a, you know, we're going to have the same places or characters or that kind of thing than, you know, it's play through the movie as if you were living in it. Not that kind of thing, but more you're going to find characters that were there and that kind of thing.
All right, that makes sense. It won't be like Street Fighter, the game, the movie, the game. Do you remember that?
It was bad. Yes, I remember it.
It's really bad.
On PlayStation with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, it was a launch title, I think. A PS1 launch title, maybe? No. 94? Yeah, it may have been, dude. Or at least pretty quick after. I don't remember now. I'd have to go back and look. But I remember it being pretty early, and I remember saying, I'm not playing that. I'm not playing photorealistic Street Fighter. That's stupid.
And guess what? It was.
It was. All right, final call. This is about Blizzard and survival.
Hey, The Instant. Gillisell here. Long-time player of WoW since the beta, off and on player of all the other Blizzard titles and long-time fan of the show. I've noticed you guys lately talking a lot about how Blizzard has this uncanny ability to innovate on so many different genres, obviously WoW in the MMO market, and Hearthstone in deck building, Heroes in the MOBA, Overwatch now coming out in the FPS world. One of the genres that's been most appealing to me lately has been the sandbox survival type games, obviously with Minecraft, most recently with Ark and everything in between, H1Z1, DayZ, kind of in the FPS space with that and so on. I wonder if you guys think we'll ever see Blizzard dabbling in that space or what they might be able to bring to the survival sandbox type game, either in an existing IP, like somewhere in Azeroth, or a new IP altogether. Or if not the sandbox survival genre, are there any other genres that you guys would like to see them come into and bring some fresh ideas into the world? As always, love the show. Thanks for any input.
Now, the call assumes, let's just assume that we live in a world where survival games don't only appeal to a very small demographic, because at the end of the day, they kind of do. There is no huge broad appeal to survival games. Now, I say that knowing that Minecraft is primarily a survival game. These games all kind of took cues from it.
Well, I would argue it has an element of survival.
Sure, but that may not be the most important part of that game. Like, yeah. Creating stuff seems to be where that thing's at. DayZ is a bona fide giant hit. Ark is a huge hit. They just hit 1 million sales in like 2 weeks or something. They're doing really well. That game's actually pretty fun. But I would argue, from a mainstream point of view, which is Blizzard's point of view, get as many players as you can playing your games, the survival genre isn't there yet, isn't big enough to do it. Now, could they be the ones to do it? Possibly. I'm a little biased in this way because I usually don't like these games. There's a very few. I think Ark is pretty good. I like Don't Starve, and I think Minecraft has its moments. But I cannot stand DayZ. I really don't like Rust anymore. Like, I've tried a lot of these. I didn't try H1Z1 or whatever, but they all to me just strike me as an experience that isn't polished yet, that doesn't know what it wants to be yet, that is too complicated, that is too punishing. There's a lot of things just wrong with it, and I don't think Blizzard's in that world, man.
Okay, so I'm going to be careful about what I say because I'm sort of reaching the end of what I know about Blizzard, you know.
Starting to run out of good info after
yeah,
leaving.
Yeah, start of running out of that, but I still have a couple of tidbits. But what I would say is what you're saying, Scott, which is those games aren't wide-reaching enough. You know, that's exactly what they do. Games like World of Warcraft, you know, MMOs were much smaller than survival games are now. Card games with Hearthstone were somewhat of a niche, especially on digital platforms. So I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know that they would do a survival game. That's a maybe. But the other side of this is that Blizzard is a publicly traded company, right? They have shareholders to answer to. And what do shareholders want? More money. And so more money you need to make, probably, since you have as much money, you know, you have more money than God, you're probably going to start making more games, especially since you can see the writing on the wall that World of Warcraft doesn't seem like it's going to keep, you know, it's not growing anymore. So if it's not growing, it's shrinking.
It's maintaining.
Maybe they're
going
to manage to create some kind of incredible expansion or revamp of the game or whatever that is going to bring it back up on the growing list. But it's unlikely that that's what where they're going. They seem to be diversifying. And if you start diversifying, Blizzard doesn't do, you know, they don't compete with themselves. They have different types of games, but they're not going to make two MMOs or two card games or two RTSs, right, at the same time. Mm-hmm. Which means, and now they have MMO, RTS, card game, MOBA, FPS, and what else am I forgetting? Diablo, obviously.
Right.
That's a wide range of different types of games. I don't think there are a huge number of different types of games they could go into.
Established genres maybe, but
yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't
maybe
mind.
They could come up with something completely different that isn't a remake of something that is popular right now.
Yeah.
Or maybe they could bring back stuff that we didn't think about, you know, things like, I don't know, Blackthorn, which was ostensibly a platformer.
Sort
Prince of.
Of
Persia.
Yeah, it was like Prince of Persia, Castlevania, Metroid style thing. Yeah, for
that
sure.
That could be cool.
But this is what they do, though. This is what they do. They iterate on existing stuff. They don't ever, it's very rare that Blizzard would swoop in and go, here's a brand new thing no one's doing. The closest thing to that, I would say, is Diablo 1. But everything else, including Orcs and Humans, there was some established norm for RTSs that they built upon or whatever. So I don't
and
think
Blackthorn and Rock and Roll Racing and all of this. So if you think of this like this, if you think they're going to bring up another game after Overwatch, and it might be, you know, 5 years until they do, because that's the way they work. But if that is going to happen, I don't know how many game types are left.
Yeah, you're kind of, I mean,
StarCraft Ghost, like Batman, Arkham City type open world game, StarCraft Ghost.
Oh my gosh, dude, shut up.
Oh my God.
You know what? I mean, okay, stop for a second and think about this. There's a reason, perhaps, in 05 they canceled that game. Maybe it just wasn't. We weren't there with the tech. We weren't there with the capabilities. We weren't there with the open worldness. Just think of a world now with what we can do now technically. Set in StarCraft. Oh, I just
StarCraft Ghost VR experience.
Oh, I don't know about that. And maybe we've talked about it on the show before. Maybe, just maybe, VR is a ripe field for Blizzard to figure some things out in. You know, everyone's going to be looking to them over the next couple of years to say, well, what are your experiences going to be? Because their games are so focused on, this is third person, this is top down, three quarter view, Diablo / hero style. This is an RTS. Like, we haven't. They're not doing anything right now that leads me to think they've got huge ideas for VR, but they may surprise us, you know?
I really don't think so. I think, you know, they're like Apple. They wait for a technology or something to be mature before they jump into it. I would be very surprised if they did anything in VR until the dust has settled, which is, you know, at least 2-3 years away.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Anyway, great calls. Thank you guys for sending those in. Again, the number is 801-471-0462. You can email us at theinstance@gmail.com. All right, let's get out of here. Good show, everyone. Thanks all for being here. Thank you, chat room, for being here live. Always a blast to have you around. Patrick, take a moment and tell people where they can find you during the week.
They can find me on Twitter at NotPatrick. That's my name on Twitter, NotPatrick. And you can also find my podcasts on FrenchSpin.com, which, if everything goes well and he doesn't weasel out, the next episode of Pixels, which we're recording on Monday, is going to be with the T, with Terpser.
Oh, well, so he may weasel out. I just throw you a little warning there. He might weasel out.
Yeah. Well, if he does, then I will be very, it will be a big problem.
Well, let's see.
I will find him and say mean things to his daughter.
Like this.
Le dick.
Like that. You could say that.
Well, or even meaner.
Yeah.
Like, your dad looks funny.
She knows. Name. She knows. She sees him every day.
I was sent back to the future to bring you great laws.
All right, there he is again. Anyway, all right, good. Well, yes, please do. Pixels is great. Everything Patrick does is great. Check it out, FrenchSpin.com. You can find me doing all kinds of cool stuff. The Heroes of the Pants stuff is on. We're doing it. Frogpants.com/HeroPants. My Kickstarter's still going for my compilation comic book, which you can find over at myextralife.com/.
Ooh, I just participated.
Yes, you did. Thank you for that,
yeah,
by the way.
I didn't, you're no, no problem.
You've been on vacation, so I figured you.
Yeah, that's why. That video, did you? Who produced it?
My daughter Taylor, my oldest daughter, did. She did a really.
Are
good
you
job.
Kidding me?
No, no, she did. In fact, somebody sent me an email early or a tweet or something and said, "Oh yeah, well, not all of us can afford a fancy video for our Kickstarters." Or I'm like, "Yeah, well, the only I guess it was expensive to have a kid, raise her, have her grow older, get good at photography, and then take a nice video, but." Yeah, it didn't cost me anything.
Oh, wow. Well, I please congratulate her for me. It looked super nice.
I
and
agree.
It's very simple, but it you feel like it's so different from what you usually do. Yeah. I was like, "Wait, did he actually pay for a company to come and fill him?" And there's you sense a true directorial intent behind this video, and it's super beautiful. So, yeah, congratulations.
Oh, super nice of you. Thanks. Yeah, if you want to know more, myextralife.com/book, plenty of time left. And lots of unlocks to get to still. I guess that's everything. There's a million things going on, but whatever. Nerdtacular's coming. July's weird. Can't wait to see all of you guys there. Theinstance.net is our website. At Instance Show on Twitter. Not Patrick for Patrick. Me at Scott Johnson. Our theme was created by Matthew Oxley. Big thanks to Paul Swickard, our intern. And if you like shows like this, you might find more of them right there at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Patrick, and for those other two hooligans. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Mean for that to happen.
I didn't hear anything. I was yelling bye.
Trade Prince opens mouth, completely consumes foot. It's the overly dramatic news. I'm Hunts the Wind. The next election for War Chief isn't for another two expansions, but some candidates couldn't resist getting an early start. One unexpected entry is Trade Prince Gallywix, who threw his distinctive top hat into the ring last week. In that short time, he has already made multiple controversial statements to the press, including a real doozy in which he accused all the goblins that escaped from his plan to sell them into slavery of being illegal immigrants. But while the new horde is certainly more welcome to free speech than it was under Garrosh Hellscream, Gallywix is rapidly learning that freedom of speech does not equal freedom from criticism or consequences. The Azeroth Professional Golf Association canceled an upcoming tournament at the Pleasure Palace. Leading newspaper The Horde Times has refused all advertising from Kaja Kola and Galmart. Another sanction targets the Trade Prince's favorite hobby. It's a little-known fact that he is an expert bridge player, known for his aggressive bidding style. So desperate is the Azeroth Contract Bridge League to disassociate themselves from the Prince's toxic views that they have abandoned the game altogether and reverted to a trick-taking game that does not have any bidding at all. So henceforth, the ACBL card games will all be no Trump. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Reputation Boost, helping you gain that all-important reputation in the world of Warcraft. This week, we complete the Northrend Vanguard achievement by exploring the faction of the Argent Crusade. This alliance between the Knights of the Silver Hand and the Argent Crusade is focused on the eventual defeat of Arthas and his forces. Typically, you will start out gaining reputation with this faction when you're leveling. You'll encounter quests from this faction in Dragonblight at Dawn's Reach, as well as various locations in Zul'Drak and Icecrown, including the Argent Tournament. Once friendly, you can purchase the Tabard of the Argent Crusade and champion for this faction in Wrath Dungeons. Outside of those paths, there are not that many other ways to reach Exalted status. Many rewards, as we've seen in this group of factions, are now trivial, but reaching Exalted status will now complete the Northrend Vanguard meta achievement for you if you've been following the last few blog posts. You will also receive the achievement for reaching Exalted status, as well as complete at least part of the meta achievements, the Argent Champion, and also Exalted Champion of the Alliance or the Horde, depending on your faction. So there we go, another meta achievement down. See you back here next week with another tip. Remember to follow me at repboost.blogspot.com. If you have a faction you'd like me to spotlight, please leave me a comment. This is Frosty, and may the light be with you.
Thrunka, and welcome to Ask Miss Mulgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, I plan to take my family summer camping in Hellfire Peninsula to see what Draenor was like after it was Draenor but before it was Draenor. Should we roast marshmallows or hot dogs over our first campfire? While I may appreciate your desire to show your younglings the history of our world firsthand, time travel can be quite a boondoggle. First, the Hellfire Peninsula is not a petting zoo. keep your little ones away from the Hellbores. Second, when you tell your younglings scary stories about the Fell River, a real Fell River is likely to sneak up and swat you like a fly. Third, after you are dead, your younglings are still too young to fly in Hellfire Peninsula. If you get my meaning. Now, I mean, really, have you ever seen the Hellfire Peninsula? It is nothing but barren, parched earth. Besides, the fire rating is extreme this year, so campfires are banned. You should know better than to start a campfire in a dry area with hellfire randomly erupting from the ground. I am Miss Mulgrew, and that is my advice. Oh, come on, gosh. Follow at Miss Mulgrew on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmulgrew.com.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com. We'll be right back.